DrawnByJohn.com presents We Got the Geeks comic panel.
All right, it's time to pick up the giant key that opens the Fortress of Solitude, and it's time for another episode of the comic panel. And joining me this week on the show is my lovely co-host, K-Stu.
Oh, hello. I'm here.
And she's read some comics.
So I did.
Always good when you do that. We're going to get to some reviews in a little bit. We got some comic book news. We've got a list here, which I thought was kind of fitting since Iron Man 3 is out this week in 2 days.
Yeah.
Well, actually, tomorrow, because this is airing on Thursday, so Friday. Some theaters are running it tonight at 9 o'clock.
True, at the drive-in.
At the drive-in, yeah. Cool. Well, unfortunately, we're starting the show off with some sad news. So,
man,
sorry about that.
We got
that.
Through it on the news this week.
Yeah.
We're okay.
So, writer Robert Morales has passed away. He was best known for writing a Captain America story in 2003 called The Truth, Red, White, and Black. It was a controversial series about Captain America and how the super soldier that gave him his powers, Super Soldier Serum, was first used on black soldiers. I remember reading that story. I collected that one, and that was one of the first Cap series I collected all the way through.
Hmm.
So he was only 55 years old.
Oh, wow.
So it's pretty sad, and our thoughts go out to his family. There were some happier comic book stories this week.
Good. We need happy.
Well, something our daughter is going to be excited for. IDW is going to soon launch a new Powerpuff Girls comic in August. And not only will there be new stories, but they're going to have reprints of the 90s DC series.
Mm-hmm.
And also IDW announced that there will be a Treasury-sized My Little Pony book coming out.
Wow.
The Treasury-sized books were popular when I was a kid. They were like the bigger-than-normal coffee table-sized comic books. Usually they were reprints. And I do have a couple of them down here that they put out in the early 2000s. Justice League one and things like that. So she'll be excited about that.
Cool.
I know you're a big pony fan as well.
I am.
Oh, goodness me. DC posted a couple teaser images about some characters they're going to be using in the near future. One of them was the Joker's daughter. And it was a creepy-looking picture where she's holding a pie that had shards of glass in it in one hand and a cane in the other. And she had the same strapped-on Joker's face that the Joker's had recently. You weren't following Detective Comics, but he cut off his own face.
Yeah.
And then strapped it back on with some straps and a belt. So she's sporting the same look. They also posted an image of the cyborg Superman. In the original continuity, he was a popular character who showed up during the Death of Superman story, pretending to be Superman. He was really evil, and he was responsible for the destruction of Coast City, which drove Hal Jordan nuts for a little bit there.
So that's nice.
So I don't know if they're going to follow the same continuity, but he's coming back. So that's pretty exciting for me. What else can I say? Oh, yeah. So last weekend was the Chicago Comics and Entertainment Expo. And Marvel announced that their long-running X-Factor series by Peter David, Leonard Kirk from the Niagara region, of course, and company comes to an end with issue 262. The final chapter of the aptly named The End of X-Factor. So Peter David has actually been with the team going all the way back to 1991. So he's been on the book over 20 years. He was responsible for the formation of the X-Factor team that had Cyclops' brother, Havok, running the team.
Okay.
So it's coming to an end. I remember I collected some of the issues in the 80s with the original X-Men lineup came back for that. So it's been around a long time.
I guess. See, I thought the X-Men was a new thing.
No, they're actually celebrating their 50th anniversary this year.
Yeah. Like, I knew they were around before the movies.
Yeah.
But I think when they did the animated series, late 90s.
Yeah, mid to late 90s.
I thought it was new.
Oh, really?
Yep. I knew nothing about comics, I admit.
I wasn't a big X-Men fan. I discovered them in the early 80s. I used to collect... It was a big deal when DC and Marvel did crossovers.
Yeah.
And they did one, in, I think, in 82, where the new Teen Titans met the X-Men.
Teen Titans.
Yeah. So I collected that, and there was a big joke because Beast Boy in the comics, his name is Garfield Logan, so he kept thinking he was related to Logan Wolverine.
Not Garfield the cat?
No, not Garfield the cat. Heathcliff. Although he could turn into Garfield the cat if he wanted to.
There you go. Do it.
So that's how I discovered the X-Men. And I was never a big collector of them. I like the movies well enough. Well, actually, speaking of the X-Men's 50th anniversary, at the same con, they announced that this fall, to celebrate their 50th anniversary, the past, present, and future of the X-Men collide as the present-day X-Men and a future incarnation of the team go to war over how best to handle the group's time-displaced founding members. I'm reading a series now called The All-New X-Men, where the original X-Men, when they were kids, get brought forward in time by the Beast, which is an interesting comic by Brian Michael Bendis.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to go to war over with the future incarnation of the X-Men. I know time travel confuses you a little bit.
It confuses me a lot.
That crossover begins in September with a series called X-Men Battle of the Atom. And the story is going to continue in a crossover between All-New X-Men, which is the one I collect, The Uncanny X-Men, Wolverine and the X-Men, and X-Men. It'll conclude in X-Men Battle of the Atom 2. By the way, there's a million X-Men comics, in case you didn't know.
Apparently.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in the X-Men universe. So,
it's a very busy place.
Very busy place. Speaking of the X-Men, I saw a picture today. Bryan Singer tweeted Hugh Jackman arriving on the set for the new X-Men movie.
Oh.
So that's pretty exciting. Looking forward to that. And what else? Oh, there's been an announcement for a book about a series you and I read about 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be called Absolute Black as Night. Remember the Black as Night series with all the superheroes and villains coming back from the dead?
Yeah.
Sort of like zombies and fighting everybody. It's going to be called Absolute Black as Night, hardcover book, which reprints Black as Night issues 0 to 8. Also Green Lantern 44 to 48 and 50 to 52. So it's a huge book. And there's going to be some... I guess artwork that didn't get published in the series and commentary by Jeff Johns. $99 for this book. So
I love that it has like outtakes. Like
yeah,
a DVD set. It,
yeah, director or I guess like director's commentary as well. So I know I've got friends that got back into comics because of that series. So that's pretty exciting.
Hmm.
So look for that this fall.
Okay. I will.
Yep. So, let's take a break. I want to get to, I guess, a top 10 list.
Okay.
And then, kind of a casting game that one of my websites did this week. And we'll be right back after this message.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Face front, true believers. John Ballmer is an independent artist and illustrator. He has contributed to several indie comics published by Alterna Comics and more, and is able to draw in many styles and genres. John also does commission work in sizes ranging from 3 by 5 inches to 11 by 17 inches and even larger. Add some original art to your personal collection or surprise someone with a drawing just for them. Check out his work at drawnbyjohn.com and his Facebook group, Drawn by John, The Art of John J.C. Ballmer.
All right, welcome back to the comic panel. It's me, Jay Stu, and Kay Stu.
I'm here, too.
We're going to talk about some comics we read in the next few minutes. First of all, I know you're a big Daredevil fan.
Yes, I am.
You actually enjoyed the Ben Affleck movie from... Oh, wait, what?
I did enjoy the Ben Affleck movie. I was going to say, I was waiting for you to end, I also enjoyed the comic before it was a Ben Affleck movie.
Yep, you read the Kevin Smith one, and you, think you read some of the Bendis issues. I remember you were reading it when his identity got revealed to the world. Can you believe it's been 10 years since that movie came out, by the way?
No.
I know. So, we talked about this on a previous edition. Might have even been on the news. How Fox lost the rights to the Daredevil movie franchise just last year, actually. And the rights reverted back to Marvel. In case you missed it, Fox actually had this really cool idea that they were going to set a Daredevil movie in the 70s. Because crime's kind of gotten cleaned up in New York now. And it's going to involve a lot of kung fu. He'd have his original yellow Daredevil suit. Well, the rights reverted back to Marvel. And this week, Kevin Feige of Marvel Entertainment revealed that, yes, Marvel Studio has gotten the rights back to Daredevil, back from Fox. Unfortunately, they have no plans whatsoever to do anything with the character. So, what's the big deal then, right? Like, let Fox do their movie set in the 70s. Anyhow, on Newsarama.com, they pitched their idea of what they would see a cast of a new Daredevil movie.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with some of these choices, and I want to see what your opinion would be.
Okay.
First off, they cast Daredevil's father, battling Jack Murdock, the boxer, who, if you remember in the origin, he dies. They cast Bruce Willis as that character.
Yeah, I could see that.
Okay. There's a villain, I don't know if you're familiar with it, if you read it in the comics, you read called the Owl.
Mm-hmm.
He was selling mutant growth hormone in the books, and he had talons like a real owl. They wanted Andy Serkis to play him. He's the guy that plays Gollum, and he did work in the Planet of the Apes. He's like known for doing those creature roles. Let's see. They had a guy from The Wave called Michael Camillars as Bullseye.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not familiar with his work. Then they get into the people we know. Seth Rogen is Foggy. I like that, man.
Yep.
That's classic. John Favreau played him in the Ben Affleck film. I like that idea. Except he might need to gain some weight back to do that role. They had someone named Aaron Cummings that they wanted to cast as Elektra. I checked out her IMDb. She has the look for Elektra. We don't know anything she's been in, but she has the looks for her, at least. Who do you think should play Elektra?
I don't even know.
If we were doing this in the early 2000s, they used to draw her looking a lot like Angelina Jolie on the covers.
Yeah.
I don't know if she'd be age appropriate for that role now.
I'd like to see the chick from New Girl who plays Cece.
Really? That's interesting.
I don't know, she's at least part Indian, but she's got like that, like she could play Greek if she had
That's an interesting choice, actually. I wouldn't mind seeing that.
I don't know about this Erin Cummings chick. I mean, she's cute, but...
Not as Elektra?
I think, no, because I think they're casting her to look like Jennifer Garner.
Okay.
Like, she looks like she could play Jennifer Garner's sister in a movie.
Yeah, looking at those pictures, yeah. All right. Now, Matt Murdock in the comics had a girlfriend named Karen Page, who actually was killed in the Kevin Smith run.
Mm-hmm.
They want Elizabeth Banks as her.
Yes. Because I was thinking, I was like, okay, I'm pretty sure she had blonde hair.
Yeah, she did.
And then as soon as you said it, I'm like, yep. Because in the comics, it had that 40s feel.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth Banks can really pull that off.
Yeah, I totally agreed with that one. As the Kingpin, unfortunately, we don't have Michael Clark Duncan around anymore. I kind of like this one, though. Michael Chiklis. He'd have to bulk up a little bit, though.
Yeah.
Beef up a little bit.
I don't know. Because he already played the Thing.
Yeah.
Like, we're just going to get him to play any beefy white guy we need now.
Chris Evans already played the Human Torch.
Oh, I know. I'm not saying it's not possible.
Patrick
Warburton.
I don't know. I can't see him playing anything serious now that I've seen him on a bunch of stuff.
I don't know. I would like to see, like, he's barrel-chested. Like, he's not huge.
Yeah.
Like they draw the Kingpin, like, morbidly obese, but...
Right.
I don't know. I could see him pulling that off. You know, he's got the voice. And I think the voice will make him appear even bigger.
Yeah.
And just thinking cinematographically, is that even a word?
Oh, sure.
Like the way they can manipulate cameras and angles and stuff. I'm thinking like Elf when they had Will Ferrell sit on Bob Newhart's lap.
Right.
Like you could play off the angle so that he appears bigger than he actually is. But
yeah, I guess so.
I don't know. I'm trying to think who else.
I mean, that's a larger than life villain. Always wanted him to come back for a Spider-Man movie. That character.
I'd love to see Hurley. But I don't think he could play the serious part. Like, I think he's got the build for it. And especially after playing the giant, like...
Yeah, oh yeah.
But I don't think he's got that...
I don't know, I'd have to think about that. Gravitas, yeah.
Is that the word? But I think Putty could pull it off.
Maybe, I don't know. Has he done anything serious, though?
Not that I know of.
Okay. Okay. Do you want to know who they wanted for Daredevil? And I kind of like this idea.
Who?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Of course you do. Joseph Gordon-Levitt for anything is fine.
Yeah. Now, I don't know how he would look in the suit, but I think he'd be an all right Matt Murdock.
Yeah. I don't know. He just seems small. Like, just in stature. And mm-hmm. I would think I would... want to see someone like I'm thinking Ben Affleck
mm-hmm.
And I thought Ben Affleck was perfectly cast for the role. Yeah, I'll say it. Mm-hmm. Just
well, if you want to go back, some other guys that were considered for him before Affleck were Guy Pearce and Ed Norton.
See, they're little scrawny guys.
Yeah,
and not that Daredevil's like this huge like muscular guy,
right?
But I think he's got to pull off, like, the ninja-like moves and all of that and still appear bigger than life. I don't know. I don't know who I have in mind, though.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't want to say Ryan Reynolds.
No. Probably not. Bradley Cooper?
Yeah, he's kind of the go-to.
Fillion?
He's another one.
He's another go-to guy, yeah. I guess.
Huh. Huh. Even, Hawkeye.
Jeremy Renner?
Yeah.
I can see that.
Like, I'm not a huge Jeremy Renner fan, but I think he can be serious enough.
Yeah.
And still appear brawny enough. Like, obviously he's Hawkeye, so yeah. Maybe not. But, Chris Evans.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
It's certainly something to think about. I mean, it's gonna be
Kevin Smith is the Kingpin.
No, he's the coroner.
Snoogans. I couldn't do that. No.
Ways to wait for a Daredevil movie now. They're gonna concentrate on Avengers type stuff. Although technically, Daredevil was in the Avengers last year in the comics.
Huh.
So, I don't know. Someone brought up a good point that they have the rights to Daredevil again. They have the rights to the Punisher again. Why don't you do, like, a real cool, like, HBO-type TV series with those characters? Like a Marvel Knights kind of deal.
See, I would almost want to see Nathan Fillion as the Punisher.
Yeah. No, Tom Jane's got to come back for that.
That would be ideal if that doesn't happen.
Yeah. But I'd love to see something like that. Like, maybe, like, just a gritty crime show that would be perfect for HBO or something like that.
Netflix, I'm looking
or Blade. At you. Blade's another character they have the rights to again. I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see.
I suppose.
All right. When we come back, I found a top 9 list, which was interesting. It deals with movies. We'll be right back after this ad.
And now a word from our sponsors. A new spin on the traditional comic book store. Pulp Comics is the place to buy all your new comics, graphic novels, toys, and collectibles. Located at 4559 Queen Street in Niagara Falls, we have over 20,000 back issues, Wi-Fi, arcade, posters, DVDs, MTG, RPG games, board games, complete with 1,400 square feet of gaming tables and vintage arcade downstairs. Pulp Comics cares about you and your comic buying experience. That's why all of our comics are bagged and boarded. Whether you're a pull-list subscriber or just shop off the rack. Table rentals are now $5 for a full session of tabletop goodness. Bring your own game or play any of the available house games. Cards, dice, pawns, and pencils, everything you need for an evening of competitive social interaction, schemes and intrigue, luck, both good and bad included, and an awful lot of fun. At Pulp Comics, we have the fiction for your affliction.
All right, welcome back to this week's comic book panel. I'm sitting here in the studio with the lovely K-Stew.
Hi.
This is your third comic book panel, I think. Maybe fourth?
I don't know. I've lost count.
So, as we know, Iron Man 3 is out on Friday.
Yeah.
And SuperheroHype.com put out a list of 9 superhero movies that almost happened.
Almost?
Some of these are cool. Some of them, kind of glad they weren't made.
Nice.
Number 9 is something that should have been made, and they should have greenlit as soon as The Avengers was a hit. Joss Whedon's Wonder Woman.
Yes.
Joss Whedon wrote a script which was pretty faithful to the original source material. I believe it took place in the 40s. And this is a few years ago before he'd done any work on The Avengers. And
note to self, greenlight anything Joss Whedon puts his name on.
Yeah, for sure.
Come on.
Steve Trevor would have featured in it, it says here. Did you know what his... I think we talked about this a while ago. His first choice for Wonder Woman? Colby Smulders.
Yeah.
You kind of see that at all, or...?
Yeah.
And if you look at the screen real close, check it out. There's some concept art for the character. She's in pants, like...
Damn it!
I know.
Pants and a belly shirt? Or a belly corset?
I guess so. She's got the lasso and the big red boots, though. I don't know, that would have been cool. They got to, you know, I think in the scheme of things, they should do a Wonder Woman movie before they jump into a Justice League movie. Just my opinion. All right, the second one they have here on their 9 movies that almost got made. And James Cameron was going to do a Spider-Man movie at one point in the early 90s.
That just seems odd.
It says, long before Sam Raimi was tasked with bringing the web slinger to the big screen, job was given to the guy who had just finished Terminator 2. So this is like 91, 92 that this was going to get made. The villains he was going to use was going to be Electro and Sandman. Electro is actually making his film debut in the new movie that comes out next year. In fact, they were so sure this movie was going to get made that they wouldn't allow the animated series to either show Electro or the Sandman in the run of that series because they wanted to save him for the movie. So, I don't know. What do you think about that?
I don't know. Really?
Yeah, James Cameron, Titanic.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. How much talking would have been in that movie?
Oh, geez. Number 3, I knew about this one a long time ago. David Goyer was going to do a Flash movie. He's the guy that wrote Batman Begins and the Blade movies. As a matter of fact, this is the guy that wanted Ryan Reynolds to play the Flash. This was long before he was cast as Green Lantern. And I guess it was a dark movie, and it was supposed to take influence from Geoff Johns' run. And it says, much like Joss Whedon, the studio wouldn't come to terms on this Flash movie. So, I think the Flash movie is something they need to do before they get to a Justice League as well. Just so these characters are familiar to the people, right?
Yeah.
And he's a great character. I've always liked him. Funny enough, let's see what's next on the list. Before there was an X-Men First Class, you remember we got X-Men Origins Wolverine?
Yeah.
There was going to be an X-Men Origins Magneto, which kind of evolved into First Class.
Yeah.
This was a movie that was a guy by the name of Sheldon Turner wrote in 2004, and it was almost called MacGyver. Magneto in his younger years, back when him and Professor X met.
We get X-Men Origins MacGyver?
That'd be great. So it would have dealt with him meeting Charles Xavier, kind of like what happened in First Class anyhow. This one I'm glad didn't get made, because I loved First Class. That was like my surprise movie of 2011, I think, mm-hmm. It came out. So, yeah, I'm glad they waited and didn't do that one. So we talked about David Goyer a minute ago, how he wrote a Flash movie that didn't get picked up on. Here's one we talked about a while ago. Green Arrow, Escape from Supermax. Basically, Green Arrow gets framed for a crime he didn't commit, thrown in jail with everyone he's ever thrown in prison. We're talking super criminals, yeah. Not like the guys you see on Arrow, on the TV show Arrow. And his identity becomes known because of this. So he goes to a prison for supervillains called the Supermax, and it's about him breaking out of the jail. It says the script was to include A, B, and C list villains, including the Pied Piper, the Riddler, Lex Luthor, and the Joker. And I haven't read the script, but I've gone to different sites that said it was pretty awesome and they should have made this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a big Green Arrow fan. I like anything he's involved with. Matter of fact, the first draft of the script was just called Supermax, which didn't even have Green Arrow in the title.
Yeah, weird.
So you were mentioning before you're not a big fan of origin movies. They didn't mention the origin at all in this movie, I guess. They just jumped right in.
Mm-hmm.
So that was number 5 on their list. Number 6, as it loads up here on the screen, Dazzler, the movie. You weren't here when you weren't here when Hunter and I made fun of this character. And we told Kristen she should dress up as her. Created in the late 70s when disco was popular. She could create sound waves or a light show. She had roller skates. That was on her costume. Big silver purse. And it says here, you may not know this, but the only reason that the character Dazzler was created is because of Kiss, the band Kiss.
Wow.
The rock band proved to be so popular in comic book form that Casablanca Records worked with Marvel to create a character that was a singer, and then they would find someone to fill the role as the character to sell records. That's amazing. There was a deal on the table to turn Dazzler into a Saturday morning cartoon. And then they were going to turn her into a movie, and Bo Derek had actually signed on to play the character.
Huh.
That's awesome. That's funny. She's not a popular character. She went on to be in the X-Men. But Hunter will tell you how great she was. Number 7. So, you know, the Watchmen movie that came out a few years ago, they originally tried to do it in the 80s, right after the book had come out.
Okay.
Directed by Terry Gilliam. You know, that guy that does all the weird Baron Munchausen movies and things like that?
Yeah.
So I'm reading through here. Remember Dr. Manhattan? He was the blue guy?
Yeah.
Who Billy Crudup played him in the movie, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah, Joel Silver was the producer, and he demanded that the role of Dr. Manhattan be played by Arnold Schwarzenegger. This is pre-Batman and Robin. Wow. Oh, and Gary Busey showed an interest in playing the comedian.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, Richard Gere was interested in a role,
stop.
Too.
He could stop. He could stop.
Okay.
Stop it.
I will stop it. But I'm glad they waited for that one as well. And just to prove how dumb a movie this would have been, they show a picture of Arnold Schwarzenegger from Batman and Robin as Mr. Freeze. Here's one I wish that would have happened. Darren Aronofsky's Batman Year One. This was based on the Frank Miller story that came out in the late 80s. They were planning this before Batman Begins got filmed. And they were going to start over with Batman because of how bad Batman and Robin did. We were just talking about it. It's a horrible film.
Yeah. Aronofsky
compared his pitch on the film to Batman meets Death Wish. All right. That didn't pan out, so then he, I guess, it all came back to 2005 when they finally did a version of that called Batman Begins, and they asked Darren Aronofsky to direct that one after his big pitch for Batman Year One, turned them down.
Yikes.
All right, you want to hear what number 9 was on their top 9?
Yes, please.
We talked about this one a while ago as well. George Miller's Justice League. In 2007, it was a Justice League film that was in the planning stages. A script had been made, or written. Sets had actually started to have been built. Weird casting choices here. Adam Brody as the Flash. Remember that kid?
Yeah.
DJ Catrona as Superman. I'm not familiar with that guy. Rapper Common as John Stewart / Green Lantern.
Okay. No.
Army Hammer as Batman. You know what? I can kind of see that.
All right.
That guy, he's a Lone Ranger now.
He could do the Daredevil.
Yeah. Megan Gale as Wonder Woman. I don't know who that is. Do you? Well, you've got the IMDb right in front of you.
I will find it.
Santiago Cabrera as Aquaman. And do you remember Max Lord, the villain who actually shot Blue Beetle, and for a while there he was...
So Wonder Woman snapped his neck?
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
Jay Baruchel as Max Lord.
What?
Jay Baruchel as Max Lord.
No.
Yeah. Little nerdy kid from the Judd Apatow movies.
No. Max Lord would have to be Jon Hamm.
Yeah, Max Lord's an older guy.
He's got to carry it off.
He looks like Jon Hamm the way they draw him.
He's got to have that attitude.
Not a kid either.
No.
So, two things killed this film. The producers couldn't secure a tax credit for the movie in Australia, where it was going to be filmed. And it was reportedly going to cost a lot of money. Baruchel put the total at around $300 million if this thing would have been filmed. Oh, wow.
That Megan Gale was on Project Runway Australia.
You see a picture there?
Australia's Next Top Model.
Does she even look anything remotely like a good Wonder Woman?
She's pretty. Like, if you're going to get a Next Top Model on there, you get Adrienne Curry.
Yes. Oh, she filled out the costume well. We already know
she
that.
Does.
So that's that. Like, a lot of weird movies that were being planned. Some for the better that didn't get made. However, you got to think of if they turn these movies down, how did they greenlight Catwoman with Halle Berry and stuff like that?
I do not know.
And let's not forget, they did greenlight a Nicolas Cage Superman movie as well, which didn't get made because, I don't know, it was a horrible idea. Anyhow, that's that. I hope you all have a good laugh. And remember, Iron Man 3 is in theaters on Friday. So that should help you with wiping those images out of your head of the movies we just talked about.
Yes, please.
All right, when we come back, I can't wait to hear what K-Stu has to say about these comics. So stay tuned.
Hold on, true believers. There's more We Got the Geek after these words.
Kristen Hunter is a Canadian artist specializing in polymer clay creations. Kristen is a geek at heart, and most of her creations are nerd-themed. She makes everything from Captain America earrings to video game-inspired necklaces and everything else in between. Check out Kristen's amazing work at www.wasabeads.com or visit her Facebook group, Wasabeads Custom Creations.
All right, true believers, welcome back to this week's comic book panel. This is Jay Stu sitting in with my lovely partner, Kay Stu.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I was enjoying a beverage.
We've read some comics this week.
Yay for comics!
And all I got to say about this next one, if Finn Hudson and Veronica Lodge make out, the multiverse will cease to exist. We're, of course, talking about Archie Meads Glee, the second part of this extraordinary crossover.
We're, of course, talking about Punisher.
Issue 642 of Archie. You got the variant cover where Archie's throwing a slushie. So if you missed our last talk about this movie, Dilton the brainy member of the Archies, discovered a portal to the Glee universe, which was in Brittany S. Pierce's locker.
Yes.
And she thought he was Artie with legs. Artie who could walk.
Artie who could walk.
So at the end of the last issue, a big accident happened. Some of the Glee guys got transported to the Archies universe and vice versa. Take it away, K-Stu. I gotta hear what you thought about this.
I don't know. Maybe it's because I haven't read the last 640 issues. I read the one before this. maybe that's why I'm just not getting it.
I don't know.
It's just bad. Okay. And I know that our listeners probably aren't big Glee fans to begin with.
Right.
And I will be the first to admit I'm a huge Glee fan, but this last season has left something to be desired.
Yeah.
This is not filling that void.
No.
It's very contrived and, oh my gosh, if they kiss, the whole butterfly effect. I like butterflies. Like, really, come on. And I know it's written for, like, 12-year-olds. Diana probably likes this. Does Diana read this?
We haven't read this one to her yet. She's behind in her comic.
Okay.
So.
Diana would probably like this. She's not watched every episode of Glee, but she's watched a little bit of Glee, and she knows some of the Archie characters, I believe.
So,
she knows Archie. She read Archie Meets Kids.
You know a little bit about Archie, right? I know a little bit about them. Bad things are going to happen if Jughead takes off his crown?
I don't know what will happen. I was kind of hoping that would happen.
Does he sleep in that friggin' crown?
Sue Sylvester was trying to get him to remove his crown, and Artie Who Walks wouldn't let it happen.
Because the world will be destroyed.
Like, what's under that crown? And it's made of paper. Like, he's never been out in the rain?
Oh, yeah. Like...
Oh, man. Does he shower in the crown? Does he wash his hair?
Is it stapled to his head? I don't get it. Like, bad things are going to happen.
What's under there? The Holy Grail? Like, if he takes it off, is it going to glow like the...
Ark of the Covenant is under his hat.
I was thinking the suitcase at the end of Pulp Fiction. Like, is there just going to be that glow?
It's not good. It's not good. And then, because they're stuck in the other universe, all the Glee guys start trying out for the Archies.
Yeah, because why wouldn't you?
Like, I'm sorry, wouldn't you be a little bit worried that somehow you wound up in another dimension?
No. I'm just more worried that we haven't broken out in song in the last 10 minutes. It's an actual line.
It is.
Yeah, so, I love Glee. I have a Glee blanket, I have a Glee pillow, I love the show.
You have the Glee action figures.
If they were some, I would have them. I have a Glee notebook, I have a Glee keychain, like... I'm very gleeked, and this is making me sad to the point where Beth held it up today at Mostly Comics and went, oh, issue 3 is in, and I was like, oh, do I have to?
I like the fact.
It's going to be a whole year, isn't it?
I don't know. I hope not. I like the fact that one of the characters, Chuck, compares this to Barry Allen meeting Jay Garrick in the classic Flash of Two Worlds comic.
Hey, I'm a comic book nerd. Really? We've never seen you before. Who are you?
He's Chuck, man.
Oh, is that Richie Cunningham's long-lost brother?
I don't know.
Who's now African-American?
But Puck is trying to score with Betty?
Of course. She's a cheerleader. He's the captain of the football team. Like, I can see that. He's Puck.
Next, if Betty Cooper kisses Noah Puckerman, two universes die. Good. Let it happen.
And Veronica's so worried about Archie being in this other universe with Betty that she's like, you know what? I'm going to make out with Finn.
Yeah.
I've had heartache before. I don't think that was my solution.
No.
Then again, Finn wasn't around.
Oh, this is ridiculous, man. And now Josie and the Pussycats are trying to get Mercedes Jones to join the Pussycats?
Hey, that I would like to see. That's a spinoff I would read. It makes me weep for the future.
Wow. That's good.
Like, I read this as a child, and these were not my role models.
Right.
But I thought when I got to high school, like, that's how things were going to happen. And now it's like, wow, this is not real life. It's just aimed at children, and it shouldn't even exist. Yeah, I said it.
It's true.
So,
I'm just reading it to go along with this to, I don't know.
I'm reading it as a Glee going, it's got to get better, right? The creators of Glee have something to do with this, right? They're letting this happen?
Yeah, what the guy that's writing this, I think, actually writes for the show.
Like, come on. You can write better than that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I will continue to read it. I don't know if we'll continue to review it for the show, because this is 2 bad reviews out of 2 so far.
Yeah. At least you've gotten the variant covers.
Yeah.
That's one thing, I guess.
So, I'm following that trend. Yes, I have to have them all. I'm a collector. I need a complete set. It hurts to read.
Yeah.
Like, Glee is the first thing that I clear off the DVR, like, as soon as I can.
Mm-hmm.
I put off reading this book for
2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah. Like, come on. So.
All right.
I don't know. I give it 1 slushy out of 8.
That's kind of a... Wow.
And I mean American slushies that are like super carbonated and fluffy and delicious. Had one tonight. So good.
Wow. I'm not even going to give it that.
You're giving it 0 slushies?
I'm going to give it... Zero? I'm going to give it 0 holy grails under a paper crown out of 5.
Wow.
It's pretty bad.
It is. It is. And damn it, now they have my money.
Yeah. That's,
I'm voting with my money.
That's 3 bucks. You're not getting back.
All right.
All right. And let's move on to the 4th chapter in the Bionic Man versus Bionic Woman saga.
Now this is good.
Yeah, it's interesting. So in the last issue, Steve Austin got his legs and one arm ripped off and left for dead.
His robot arm. He still has his human arm.
Oh, does he have a human arm? I thought he was all robot in this series.
I'm pretty sure that the other arm left is a human arm.
Oh, okay.
So I thought it was just his robot appendages. I could be wrong.
I don't remember. But as he's laying there in the mud with most of his appendages ripped off, some wolves attack him.
That's okay. Spoiler alert. He laser beams him with his eyes.
Yeah, that's something the old Steve Austin didn't have. And then they show pieces of wolf laying around him.
Yeah.
Oh, that's gross. Yeah. It's an alright series.
I don't know. I thought it was pretty good. It kind of ended on a cliffhanger.
Yeah, next issue's the final issue.
Yeah. I'm enjoying it. Like, it's a cute little series. It's making me nostalgic to go back and watch The Bionic Woman.
Yeah. Making me nostalgic to go back and read the Kevin Smith Bionic Man series.
Yeah. So, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, it's okay. We're the only ones buying it at Sketchbook Comics.
Apparently, yeah.
Which Jeff always laughs at us for.
This one came in. I knew you were the only one who read it, so I put it aside for you. Thanks.
The villain they're fighting is pretty creepy, though.
Yeah.
He has to keep replenishing his heart. Because the radiation eats away at it.
And he reminded Jamie like 4 times. Like, I don't need you to be alive. I can just take your parts and reverse engineer you. Which just creeped me out.
Yeah.
I don't need you alive. Okay, shut up.
Yeah, no, it's a good read.
This one I like. 4 bionic arms out of 5.
Yeah, I'll give it 4 pieces of wolves out of 5. That was kind of cool. I thought he was just going to stab him with his the wires and stuff that were hanging out of his one arm.
Just like electrocute the
yeah, I guess so. It was cool. A lot of action. They got the coloring right in this issue, which was a big disappointment with issue 1.
I was confused.
And I didn't know what you meant until I went back and read it. And oh yeah, that makes no sense.
I'm dumb. I can't follow along.
Cool cover too. Jamie's kicking the crap out of Steve Austin. Neat.
So there.
Neato, neato. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with our third review right after this.
Stay tuned, loyal listeners. There's more We Got the Geek still to come.
Hey, Case 2 here from We Got the Geek. Not only am I your favorite podcaster, but I'm also your Scentsy independent consultant. Scentsy offers a safe, wickless alternative to scented candles. We sell ceramic warmers that use a low wattage light bulb to warm our specially formulated wax cubes infused with fragrance. With over 80 scents available, I'm sure you'll find a few favorites. We also offer stuffed animals that have a scent pack included, broom sprays, travel tins for your car or locker, and our new Layers line of fragrance that lets you build a new fragrance wardrobe layer by layer, from your skin to your clothes. Contact me for a catalog, to smell some yummy samples, or to book a party. We're also hiring. Ask me about joining my team. Email me at casedew.wickless@me.com or on my website, casedew.sensi.ca.
All right, we're back. Sitting here in the We Got the Geek studios with Casedew.
That's me.
And we're going to talk about the third book we read, Hawkeye Issue 9. Kind of tying into the issue before this, with the mysterious lady that Hawkeye just had to sleep with, who had that cool safe where if you got the combination wrong too many times, the contents of the safe would be destroyed, which was a great idea. So now he's got, looks like the mob after him. And he's got his two ex-girlfriend, oh, his ex-girlfriend, his ex-wife, and his current girlfriend all ganging up on
him. Yeah, so that's odd.
Jeez. And in the middle of this, he gets his divorce papers signed, too. It takes place after the last issue, after he's gotten the crap kicked out of him, and all he wants to do is sleep. You just read this the other day.
What'd all I want to do is sleep.
Oh, so you're Hawkeye.
There you go. That's the same.
So you just read that. You read this after I did. What'd you think of it?
I liked it. I was talking to you about it, and Jeff from Sketchbook. I like this one because it's got some action in it, but it's more of like the backstory or the behind the scenes of Hawkeye.
Yeah, that's what he's doing when he's not acting like an Avenger.
Yeah, it's like in his off time. So that's why I'm liking it.
Yeah.
And
why I like it too.
I'm going to pull the sexist card here. As a girl, I don't always want to read the action stuff. Like I'll read comics, they'll have action and I'll just skip pages and panels and like, okay, just get back to the storyline. Much like my movie watching experiences.
Yeah.
But this one, actually, it's all storyline, and then, like, oh, there's a little bit of an action scene. Oh, and back to the storyline.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm really liking the series. This one kind of ended on a cliffhanger, shocking moment.
Yeah, I didn't see that one coming. Like his buddy from the Flood issue, something bad happens to him. Do you get the feeling that girl Hawkeye wants to hook up with him?
Yeah.
I did, too. She's, like, way younger than him, too.
Yeah, for sure.
But, yeah, I'm digging this series. Like I've said, he's had other solo series throughout the decades, and I've never been a fan of any of them. I picked this one up because it came out right after The Avengers. And I like the behind-the-scenes stuff, too. And so all blonde Archer heroes are dicks to women?
Apparently.
Oh, man, he cheated on Spider-Woman. That's who the girl in the red dress is. Who was beating the crap out of him. And he's the only person in the world who still has an answering machine, I guess, too.
Didn't I just say that about somebody else?
I don't remember.
I can't remember what I was like. Really? An answering machine? It was somebody's mom. Oh, I can't even remember now. Somebody's mom had an answering machine, like tape and all.
Really?
Yeah. Ugh, I don't even remember.
What game were they all playing in the beginning of this comic where they all had, like, cards up on their head?
Okay, so Holly and I used to play, like, some version of poker, and I don't know the name of it. We called them Lick 'em, Stick 'em.
Right.
Because you lick the back of the card and you stick it to your forehead, and then the other people are playing their hands.
Yeah.
And the card on your head is part of your hand, but you don't know what it is.
Oh, okay.
And everybody else does, so they're betting based on they can see that in your hand. So you could be looking at, like, two queens and thinking you have maybe the third up on your head, and you've got a two up there, so everybody's betting against you because you pretty much have a crappy hand.
Yeah.
I don't know, we used to drink and play that, and we had more fun just sticking cards to our head and then trying to guess what the card was. I don't think we were really playing poker all that much. But I think that's what they were playing.
Okay.
Because there's another board game called Headbands.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more of a board game that you're trying to guess the word on your head or something. They played a version of it on The Office in the first season. The diversity one.
Oh, right. Yeah, I remember that.
Where you had to guess what person you were.
Okay.
And somebody had Asian on their forehead, and Dwight was just like, you're bad at driving and you like rice. Or something like that.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I'm laughing that all the clothes in his, like, at least the sleepwear in his apartment are all bullseye related.
Yeah.
Like, he's got the Hawkeye t-shirt with the target on it. And then his ex-wife gets into a fight in the rain, and he lets her wear his robe, which is a purple Hawkeye robe with targets all over it.
Yeah.
That's funny. I love this series, man. It's one of my
favorites.
I was kind of
waiting for some, like, target product placement in it. I liked his helmet, too, has the...
Yeah, oh, Girl Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I love this series. It's one of the best series out there right now.
Better than Superior Spider-Man?
This...
Come on!
This and Superior Spider-Man? Two best series Marvel's putting out right now.
Huh.
I've been disappointed in the Avengers since they restarted it recently. Uncanny Avengers is pretty good, though. The regular Avengers title, though, is leaving me cold.
Cold.
Yeah, pick up Hawkeye. Do yourself a favor. I think the first trade's coming out soon. It collects the first six issues. So I know I talked to John about this. He's on board with checking it out. But yeah, check it out. It is awesome. If Kathy can read it, you know it's good. Well, wait, that argument is
no, because I can read Archie.
Yeah.
If Kathy likes it.
If Kathy likes it and has read all nine issues of this puppy.
And I look forward to it. It's like, oh, is the new Hawkeye out yet? I look forward to it.
I almost didn't get it today. The new issue came out. We'll review that on another show. But I almost didn't get it. And it was going to make you go to another comic book store. That's how upset I was. But I got it. Just a quick couple of reviews here. I want to recommend the Walking Dead Michonne special.
Is this a reprint of the Playboy one?
Yeah, it's a reprint of the Playboy one.
So now in comic book form?
Now in comic book form. These specials they're putting out, Kirkman has said that they're not going to reprint in the trades. So that's why I finally picked it up. It's the second printing. So basically, it's a reprint of her first appearance in Walking Dead issue 19.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's her origin story from Playboy of April 2012. It shows how she first encountered the zombie apocalypse and how she got the big sword. And even the origin of the two zombie walkers who were on the show with her even. And then the way they combine this, it really leads into her first appearance, the way they wrote this.
Yeah.
Because I didn't even realize it was on the second story. And it's like, wow, that really lines up awesome.
Cool.
And it's set in the jail series, much like season 3 was. So check it out. It's on a second printing now. Not going to be in the trades. Now I have to go back and pick up the Governor special, because there's a Governor story in that one that isn't going to be in the trades either.
Huh.
And I guess that one deals with the origin of the fish tank that had all the heads in it.
Okay.
Because they never really showed that in the books, but in the show, that was a big highlight.
Right.
And, check it out. It's the Michonne special. Something else I got excited about this week. I bought my first Western comic, All-Star Western, featuring Jonah Hex.
Nice.
Why did I pick it up?
Why?
Because on the cover it says there's a new lawman in town. Open up the insert, and it's a time-lost Booster Gold, superhero from the future.
In, like, a cowboy hat and a big cowboy duster jacket or coat?
Over his Booster Gold suit.
Yeah.
And for those of you that don't know, his last appearance was in a Justice League annual last summer, where he showed up, looked at a monitor, saw Superman and Wonder Woman making out, and said, "No, I was here to stop this," and then faded away. And it shows him coming to the Old West from that event, but he doesn't know how he got there. He doesn't remember a lot. He remembers he's from the future. He remembers his name's Booster Gold. And he becomes the sheriff of this town when he arrives just in time to see the old sheriff get murdered. So now he's trying to convince this guy in the Old West, Jonah Hex, that he's from the future, and this Jonah Hex character thinks he's just a circus clown in a bad outfit.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not showing any of his power. I don't think he has any of his powers either, like his flight ability, and Skeets isn't there. Remember Skeets?
I do remember Skeets.
Oh, man.
No, so, Skeets in the Wild Wild West?
No, I guess Booster's going to at least be in the next issue. I'm a fan of that character. I love that time travel story we were reading a few years ago. It was like a quantum leap. He was traveling around writing things that once went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And hoping that each leap would be... No.
You're funny.
No, he was able to get home on his own with the aid of his robot Skeets. So I liked it. It was great. And one last thing I'll mention here is Ultimate Spider-Man issue 22. Miles Morales, still Spider-Man, by the way, in the Ultimate Universe. And he fights Venom for the first time in this series with very harsh consequences. And by the way, Mary Jane and Gwen are in this helping him out now. Remember, they knew Peter was Spider-Man. Peter in this universe died.
Right.
And Miles took over the role. It's kind of a sad tale. Bring some Kleenex when you read this. I don't want to give away what happens to this. But much like Peter Parker, something terrible happens because he's Spider-Man. To the point of the next issue, I'll show Kath the cover, is a take-up of the Spider-Man No More story from the, not only Spider-Man 2, but a famous story from the late 60s.
That's a costume in a garbage can is what that is.
Yes. And Bendis notes in here that if you take all the issues of the old series with Peter Parker and all the issues from this series, they're almost up to issue 200.
Wow.
Of Ultimate Spider-Man. Remember when you bought me issue 1, back in Rochester? So this would be like issue 182. So they're actually planning something big for the 200th issue. They may even renumber the series at that point.
I remember getting you that issue because I didn't understand comics all that well, and you were like, here's what I need, and I just remember going up to the guy at the counter, I tried to look around in the store, and I went up to the guy in the counter, and I was like, I need this, please. And he had to go find it for me in the racks. I was that customer.
It was amazing you found it, because none of the stores here still had it. No one expected this comic to be a hit.
And I enjoyed reading it. I know I didn't finish the series, but I liked it while reading it.
You read a lot of the issues, though. You even read the ending of, the death of Peter Parker. You read some of the Miles Morales issues as well. It's a good read. Bendis has written every issue of this.
That's crazy.
That's a good run of issues, 182.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these writers don't stay very long on the series.
Right.
So that's staying power for you. And I like it. It's really good. As Jeff at Sketchbook Comics was saying, Miles Morales is really growing on him.
No.
So those are my recommendations for the week. One last one here, actually. Guardians of the Galaxy, which I initially picked up because there's a movie coming out. And Bendis writes this one, too. The first issue of this...
Let's be honest, you'll probably pick up anything Bendis has.
Yeah, I'm a fan. Issue one of this was the number one comic for March.
Oh.
So issue two came out, and aliens come to Earth, and Iron Man happens to show up in the nick of time to help them out, and it's just them having a war with aliens on Earth. The art in this is incredible. It's by Steve McNiven. I think they worked together on Civil War a few years ago. If the movie is anything like this, I think we're in for a treat. I still don't see...
even with Andy Dwyer?
Don't see Andy Dwyer as the hero of this. But it's going
to
be interesting.
Okay. So, back to my original casting then. You don't see Andy Dwyer in this role. What about Putty for Kingpin?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes the weirdest choices are the best. Who would have thought...
Michael Keaton for Batman?
I was going to say that. Who would have thought 23 years ago that Michael Keaton would have been the perfect Batman?
You know, the guy from Mr. Mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Holding a baby over a hand dryer. Obviously, he's Batman.
That's your Batman right there.
Obviously. Probably learned it from Alfred.
Yeah, I never would have pictured that in a million years. There's been a lot of casting like that. I couldn't believe it when Heath Ledger got cast as the Joker. I thought that was ridiculous. And then he turned out pretty awesome in that role. So there's been stuff like that. But, okay, maybe Putty could be Kingpin.
I think he could pull it off. I say we fund this movie and we give it to Putty.
Kickstarter. We should just get you to cast everything, but you'd have Anne Hathaway in the role of everything.
Oh, or Annie Hathaway, as Joseph Gordon-Levitt called her. He's like, yeah, we're friends. By the way, if you're not watching The Nerdist, I highly recommend that you start.
Oh, that's a great show. Chris Hardwick hosts that. It's a guy from The Talking Dead, who does stand-up as well. And that show's right up our alley. They talk all things nerdy, yeah. Comic books, movies, much like we're doing here.
Yeah, just that he's Chris Hardwick.
Yeah.
And I'm not. He was on a show with Jenny McCarthy. Damn it.
He was?
Yeah, he did Singled Out in the 90s.
That was him?
He was the host.
Wow.
I had a little crush on him back then, and now look at him. Sheesh.
Now he's talking zombies every week.
But yeah, he was the host of Singled Out with Jenny McCarthy.
Oh, wow. I remember you used to watch that. You told me about it.
And then he disappeared. And then when he kind of came back into flavor, if you will, and when he was on, started up The Talking Dead and stuff, and I'm like, that's just the little nerdy guy from Singled Out, and I love him.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, check that out. It's on, in Canada, it's on the Space Channel, which is pretty cool.
And in the States, it's on BBC America.
Yeah.
So yeah, check it out. It's hilarious. If you're missing Chris Hardwick because The Walking Dead's not on, therefore The Talking Dead's not on, this will give you your weekly dose of everything Chris Hardwick. And it's an hour long.
Yeah. And it's pretty funny.
And his sidekick guys are funny. I now follow them on the Twitter.
On the Twitter?
I am old.
Before we take off, something else we should mention. In 2 days, across North America, Free Comic Book Day. So support your local comic book stores, but going down and all the major publishers are putting out, as they have for the last 10 years or so, a free comic that you can pick up.
Pick up a free comic. There's no purchase necessary. But do the shop owner a favor and buy a book, too. Pay it forward.
Yeah.
Pick up Archie vs. Glee just so you can burn it.
We were just mentioning that the Walking Dead issues that I talked about, the Michonne special and the Governor special, aren't being reprinted in a trade paperback. There's a special Walking Dead comic out about Tyrese.
A free comic book
one. Brand new story, not being reprinted in a trade, so you might want to pick that one up.
Yeah.
For free.
Get down to the shop early, because that's going to go fast.
Oh, that'll be one of the first ones to go. Yeah. That one and the Marvel one. The Marvel one is a teaser for a major event at the end of the year. The DC one's pretty good, though. That's going to preview Superman Unchained, and it's going to tie into the Man of Steel movie that's coming out.
And if you're not super into comic books, and you're just listening to this because you're a friend of ours, it's a good time to get into a comic book.
Yeah.
The free comic books are pretty much like a standalone issue. It's not in the middle of a storyline or anything.
Oh, no, they never do that.
So you can start reading a book, not at issue one, but close enough. It's a jumping on point.
Yeah.
And if you got kids, get them into comic books.
Oh, yeah. There's lots of kid comics there, so, I mean...
Too many kid comics, if you ask me. Like, honestly, and the retailers buy these books.
Yeah.
So they're out of pocket already for the event. But it still promotes the reading and getting the product into the customer's hands, which is the important part. But then you have little kids, and it's like you're telling them, oh, you can only pick one. Some retailers give out more than one. That's up to them. But
yeah.
The general rule of thumb is you get one free comic book. It's free comic book day. So it's just hard for little kids to make that decision because they've got a lot of good books out.
Yeah, Diana saw the list, and she's
was almost in tears. She was like, I can't pick. So go visit your retailers.
Yeah.
And Saturday.
If you want an extra treat, we're going to be at Pulp Comics in the Falls doing our podcast from there. Come on down, say hello. We'll get you on the podcast. We'll ask you a couple questions. You just have to roll the dice and...
Yeah, we got a little game going on. Roll the dice. It's kind of like 20 questions. You roll a 20-sided die. You answer that question. And then we'll put you on the podcast. So yeah. We're going to have a couple special episodes coming up, which also we're going to be at Articon on Sunday in Burlington. So we're going to be playing the same game there. Articon's going to be amazing.
I can't wait to go broke.
We're also going to be at Fun Expo on the 18th in Welland.
Yeah.
Again, we're going to play the game.
Yeah, so that one will be a Star Wars related questionnaire.
There you go.
To tie in with Wars theme there. So a lot of great things coming up in the month of May. Thanks for listening to all our shows. Thank you, K-Stu, for filling in for the comic book panel this week.
I do what I can.
And I appreciate it. And that's going to end another comic book panel. We've got to get the tires on the Batmobile rotated. So on behalf of K-Stu, thanks for listening, and thanks for your support, and we'll talk to you soon right here on We Got the Geek.
Thanks for listening, folks. If you want to hear more, please check us out at www.wegotthegeek.com and on iTunes.